This is John Walden. We're studying Galatians, chapter 2 now, beginning with the first verse. We're continuing Paul's explanation, his defense of his apostleship and of the gospel. He's trying to prove to these Galatians, the Spirit of God leading him in this line of argument, of course, by six different points, trying to prove that the gospel is given to him of the Lord. First of all, it was a special revelation. Secondly, it was the very opposite of his education. And then, he had no contact with the 12 apostles. He proves this in chapter 2. He only saw Peter and John, and that for only 15 days. And now in chapter 2, he shows that he was completely independent of the other apostles, and that he even was used of the Lord to rebuke Peter because he was not following closely on the simple gospel truths. Let's examine it. Verse 1 refers to his visit at Jerusalem, which is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Acts. Now the purpose of this visit, according to Acts 15, was to settle once and for all the problem as to whether or not the Gentiles should be forced to obey the Jewish law, whether the Gentiles should be circumcised and should be brought in as Jews. And this was settled once and for all, that the Gentiles are not under the law, they are not subject to the law in any sense of the word, that the gospel has superseded the law. The law was given for the purpose, as we'll see later on in this book, of convincing men of their sin. It has done its work, and salvation is purely by grace. Now this is the reason for his visiting Jerusalem in verse 1. And only Barnabas and Titus were with him. Now the reason he mentions Titus, according to verse 3, is that Titus was a Greek. And of course, ordinarily, the Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. A Greek is a general term for all who were not Jews in that day. And Titus went with him when he went up to Jerusalem. In other words, he was not trying to impress the Jewish apostles. And verse 2 says he went up by revelation. That is, God sent him. He didn't go because the apostles sent him or called him or because the churches sent him, but because God had sent him. He was God's servant, God's free man. And he communicated unto them, he said, that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. That is, as he explains in verse 4, he didn't want them to think that he had made this thing up. He compared what he was teaching with what was being taught by the apostles in Jerusalem and found that God had indeed revealed this to him. You have exactly the same gospel preached by Peter, Paul, John, James, any of the rest. There's only one gospel, and that good news is the good news that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. Salvation is because of the finished work of Christ. Now in verse 3, he shows that the Jewish ordinances had been repealed, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. That is, they did not enforce this upon Titus. And you have no right now to put yourself back under the law. That's the argument of the book of Galatians. He's trying to show us in Galatians that these false brethren, in verse 4, that are coming in to privately spy out their liberty, are really not believers. They are Judaizers. They are people who are trying to bring them back again into bondage or slavery. Now listen to me, friends. Law-keeping is slavery. If you're doing anything because you feel you have to do it, you're doing it as a slave. Well, you say, don't Christians have to do what they're told? That isn't the reason why Christians do what they're told. We do what we do because we love the Lord. We want to please Him. We're not forced to do this. Under the law, it was thou shalt and thou shalt not. In the New Testament, He says, I beseech you, and let us do so-and-so. There's a great deal of difference in why people do things. Now, this is a contention. Some people say you should never argue, you should never contend, and nothing is ever gained by arguments. This is ridiculous. You'll find a great many arguments taking place in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. We didn't give them any place. We contended with them. Why? The end of verse 5 says that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. If the Apostle Paul had not been willing to stand up for the truth of the gospel, we might not have had any clear gospel. These Judaizers would have robbed us of this. These law keepers would take all this away. And so the Lord has given to us the truth of the gospel. It has continued with us. But of these it seemed to be somewhat, whosoever they were, he says in verse 6, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. That is, they didn't give Paul any new revelation at all. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, that is, Peter was sent specially to the Jews, and Paul was sent specially to the Gentiles, when they saw that, they saw that God had wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when these men in Jerusalem saw this, they perceived the grace that was given to me, he says in verse 9, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, or to the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision, or the Jews. Now notice there is a total lack of human authority here. The Apostle Paul did not get the gospel from human beings. He was not sent by human beings. And he does not wait for this to be ratified by human beings. He has a responsibility to preach the gospel. And the other Christians at Jerusalem, Peter, James, John, when these men realized that God had called Paul, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. Now, this is not an ordination ceremony at all. This is simply an acknowledgement that God has sent them, and we are with you in this. This is a wonderful thing to see. The gospel does not come from human authority. The church did not invent the gospel. Paul didn't invent it. God gave us this wonderful story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and of complete justification by grace, through faith, without the deeds of the law. Now, when God sends his servants, there are no papal bulls issued. There are no official documents to give them authority. There is no ceremony that makes them capable of preaching the gospel. They simply realized the grace that was given to them. That is, that God had given this. They realized that these men were sent of the Lord, and so they gave him the right hand of fellowship. Now in verses 11 to 14, you have the rebuke of Peter by Paul. The question of circumcision of Gentiles was already settled at Jerusalem. You read that in Acts 15. But the question of the Jews' subjection is raised here. Do the Jews have to still live according to the law? Well, now, this should have been settled for Peter once and for all when he got this wonderful vision from the Lord in Acts chapter 10, showing him that God has made no difference between Jews and Gentiles. But it's hard to unlearn what you have learned in your youth, and he was Jewish in his background, and naturally he felt that there must be something that he could salvage from Judaism. He didn't realize that the gospel was a completely new revelation, and that they ought to turn away from Judaism. And so Paul steps in, and he says, I withstood him to the face, verse 11, because he was to be blamed. And here's what he did. For before that certain came from James, and according to the 21st chapter of Acts, James was rather legal in his attitudes. He had stayed at Jerusalem, and of course he had the Jewish slant on things. And when some came from him, before they came from James, Peter ate with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision of the Jews. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also, a good man like Barnabas, was carried away with their dissimulation or hypocrisy. It was a hypocritical thing to think that it was all right to eat with the Jews one day, with the Gentiles one day, but not the next day, just because there were some Jews present. What Paul is hitting at here is this hypocritical double standard of things. He's trying to get them to see that God has lifted this burden of Judaistic ritual completely off the backs of the Christians. I don't know whether you're bound to any kind of rules and regulations, or you're trying to keep the law, but if you are, remember that God wants to liberate you from these things. God wants to set you free. Hypocrisy is satanic. If the Lord has given us complete liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, now this is not license. This is not liberty to sin. This is liberty from the law-keeping ordinances. Since God has given us this liberty, Paul says, I'm going to stand for the truth. And he rebuked Peter. He said, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not after the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Well, Peter bore no malice to him because he later called him our beloved brother, Paul. How wonderful that God has preserved to us the clear gospel. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. Help thy children to enjoy the liberty that we have in Christ and be thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. Give us thy blessing, we pray, in his precious name. Amen.